agreed to do it, but she wanted to get married on Mount Rainier. So, and just down from Paradise, there's a lake called Reflection Lake. Awesome, beautiful spot. We went up there Friday night, and the rehearsal was awesome. We got there on Saturday, 3 o'clock, a blizzard. I'm wind sideways, snow coming down, you know, just a blizzard. So it was the first wedding I've ever done in the snow. It was, but we did it. It was awesome. Signed, sealed, and delivered. It's good. God is good. He's got a sense of humor. If any of you know Adele, I told her on the way out, I said, only your family. Only your family. Glory to God. Come on, God is good. He's good, He's good, He's good. Hallelujah. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll start there. But while you're turning there, I just want to remind you to be praying, because in 3 weeks, a little over 3 weeks, the election is going to happen. And if you're not registered to vote, please register to vote. I'm not going to tell you how to vote. However, what I want you to do is get the voter's pamphlet and read it and pray over it and just pray that God would direct you on who to vote for, because, man, it's our right. God's given us, He is so awesome, because when the framers of this country came in, they didn't put the Bible necessarily, you know, verse in the Constitution, everything, but the writers of it referred to the Bible over and over again as they were writing it. So it's God ordained. But what I want you to do is to be able to hear from the Spirit of God and vote. Amen? Hallelujah. And don't think that your vote doesn't count, because if it doesn't count here on earth, I believe it counts in heaven. I believe that God gave you that obligation to do. Vote, 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 vote. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's read this verse and we'll talk about what we're going to talk about. Verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We've been talking about hope. The last 2 weeks that I've been preaching, we talked about hope. And again, hope is not a wish. If you're wishing for something, it's not a Bible hope. Hope is a confident expectation. But a confident expectation will cause you to do something. You'll be anticipating the very thing that you're hoping for, right? It's kind of like if your folks promised you that Santa Claus was going to bring you a bike. Man, your hope is, man, I can't wait for you know, Christmas morning. I'm going to go up and I'm going to look at the tree and there's going to be my bike. Right? So there's a hope, there's a desire. It's not a wish, but based on what God has said, you have an expectation that the promise that He gave you is going to come to pass. Is that good? That's hope. But we said, and we're looking at each of these, the first part of hope is that you have to have a vision. You have to have goals. You have to have a dream. And watch this. You say, well, yeah, but I'm not a pastor. I'm not a leader. I'm not. God has created each one of us for purpose. Each one of us. And that purpose should be the dream that we have that God's put inside of us that we're going to fulfill. Right? And what's my purpose? Especially, you know, here's a crazy thing that we do. An 18-year-old, 19-year-old, or whatever, 17-year-old person comes to the 12th grade and they're going to graduate. And we ask them, well, what are you going to do with the rest of your life? And they think they need to know. And the reality is they don't have a clue, oftentimes. But here's what I tell them. What do you want to do? What's in your heart to do? Because where God speaks to us is in our heart. Right? Many of us have lost the ability to hope because our hearts have been crushed so much that we can't get past ourselves to dream again. Some of us are, I'm too this, or I'm too that, I'm too young, I'm not this, or I'm not that, or I'm too old, or I'm, you know, I could have done it, I should have done it, I would have done it, and it's an absolute killer to dreams. I'm telling you that we need to put dreams and goals before our children. Again, I've said this before, and I'm kind of rehearsing it, but hopelessness is the reason that our kids are committing suicide. Yes. Come on. Hopelessness is the reason people are in despair. Yes. So what's the answer to hopelessness? It's really, really simple. Hope. Hope. But we have to teach hope. Again, a scientific study. They've done all the analysis and everything that was necessary that hopeful people achieve more in life than non-hopeful people. I'm going to get off of that just for a second just to give you this thought. How many watch the news? All right. Did you know that people who do not enter into the political fray of listening to whatever side you're listening to is bound to be happier than those that do? I mean, it's proven. It's statistically proven. The more that you watch the pundits giving their opinion, the less happy you'll be. Just a thought. Just you know, putting it out there. You probably should read the Word rather than listening to that. Anyway, but we need to be at a place where we're giving people hope. You need hope. I need hope. I think the number one thing that we should teach our children and grandchildren is the science of hope. Right? Listen, and I'm saying it in the context of the Word of God. Because the Word of God is our hope. It's the place where our hope comes to fruition. And again, the Bible said, and we looked at this last week, without a vision, my people perish. Without hope, my people won't accomplish anything. Did you know that God is on the move in the world today? Did you know in America there's revival happening? I don't know if you know it because you don't see it much on the news, but there are thousands of people being baptized every weekend. All over. I mean, I've heard stories of people that come in from Antifa and different groups, and some Jesus freaks go out there and start preaching the word, and all of a sudden that one that was railing against them a half hour ago is now being baptized. Why? Because God is on the move. It's the very thing that we've been praying for, and it's happening. Lord, let it happen. But we have to have hope. So the first aspect to that was vision. You have to have a vision. You have to have a goal. And I'll just say this, that in all of my years, I've heard a lot of people say, well, you know, I'm going to retire. And even when I was in the world and a supervisor and had people coming up to retire, I'd say, you can't retire from something, you have to retire to something. Because people who retire from something usually die within a couple of years. You have to have purpose. You have to, and I think men even more, it's stronger wired into us that our sense of purpose is our identity. Right? So we have to be people who are going from one hope to the next hope, to the next hope, to the next hope, and that God's placed us in that hope. So the first thing is vision. Amen. Got to have a dream. Got to have a goal. You know, and it can be something as simple as, I want to get closer to God. I mean, is that a good goal, you think? Okay. Well, just having that goal is not going to get anything done. God always has His part, but you have your part. Thank you. Thank you for your enthusiasm. So if I know that the goal is to get closer to God, that I need to spend more time with Him, what do you have to have in order to do that? You have to have a plan. Right? Every bit of hope is incomplete unless there's a plan of action for that hope to come to pass. And we want to talk about the plan of action. What is my plan of action? Well, if I want to get closer to God, and it's not just a wish, I'm going to set time aside so that that can happen. Right? I'm going to prioritize that in my life. There's going to be a plan. But watch this. This is really interesting. Go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. We have to have a plan or a pathway to get there. In other words, if I'm hoping for something, I have a goal there, but there's no way for that to happen because there's no path to that, then the hope will be diminished to the point where I'll lose hope. Hallelujah. The third one that we'll talk about next week is that we have to have a vision, we have to have a pathway, but then we have to have a will to get it done. Right? We've got to be bulldog determined. We have to be at such a place where, God, you put this on my heart. I don't care how long it takes. I don't care what it takes. I'm pursuing that. And we'll talk a little bit more about that a little bit this week and next week. 105, verse 105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So every plan can be backed up with the word of God. So when I'm looking for the plan to reach the goal, I need to make it a matter of prayer and say, God, which path do I take? But I like what one pastor said. He said, when I'm looking and I'm seeking God and nothing is coming, I'm going to move no matter what. In other words, I'm going to be in action no matter what. And I realize there's a place to wait on God. But he said, I would rather be going down a path and hear no, so that I can back up and try something else, than sitting on my hiney at home with nothing happening. Right? So it's like, God, I'm looking at you and I'm searching your word for the path that I'm supposed to take. And oftentimes, we want that pathway to be just laid out before us, and we want to know step A to step, Z that gets us to that path. But that's not how God operates. God operates with you doing step A after he tells you to do step A, and then he'll give you step B. But if he's giving you step A and you're not doing it, then why is he going to waste his breath? Right, right? So it's, okay, Lord, this morning in my daily devotion, Lord, I know that this is the goal out before me. This is the hope that I have. And what is my pathway today to reach that goal? Right? And I'm determined to reach it. So Lord, I'm looking at your word for that. Go back to Psalm 43. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. I just have a feeling, and we're going to get into this more next week, but our want to isn't strong enough to get us on the path. And then when discouragement comes, our want to isn't enough to get us back on the path or seeking another path, right? Come on. I'll just say it this way. I told my family this years ago, especially when I traveled a little bit for the Navy when I worked for them. But I tell them, it doesn't matter if something happens and I need to get to you, I will get to you. If I'm in California and everything goes sour, I'll walk, but I'll get to you. Right? Because I want to instill in them that I would take care of them no matter what. Right? I wanted their hope to be in me, because no matter what would happen, if I had to walk from California back up to Washington to be near them, I would do that. Right? Because my want to had to equal the path that God put before me. And if that path wasn't exactly straight, I'm going to get on another path to get to where I need to go. Come on, come on. I need that path. Let me just tell you a story. This is funny. When we get, many of you know Gary, and Gary's a friend of mine. We used to go hiking a lot. Now, this is before we got saved. And let me just say, we may not have been exactly in our right minds. But we're going on this hike, and we're looking for the trailhead. I don't know if many of you hike or been on a hike, but you go up to the mountains, and there's a trailhead. This is where it starts. So we're on these forest roads getting there, and all of a sudden, I'm in this 1965 Buick Wildcat. So it's a boat, right? It's a boat of a car. Nice car. I mean, it was just a floater. It would go down the road. All of a sudden, we're on this road, and it's a single-lane road, and all of a sudden, we're in the middle of switchbacks. Do you know what a switchback is? You're going up a hill, you go this way, and then you go this way, and then you go this way. Well, there was no way I could turn around. We're on the wrong road, but pretty soon we're up at the top of the mountain at a lookout. That lookout is high as we're going to hike. We went, whoa, you know. So we had to go all the way back down and find our trailhead and then hike up to where we were going to go. But you see, even though we were on the wrong path, I had to come back down to get to the right path. But we wanted to go on the hike. So that time didn't deter us from getting to where the destination was. Are you with me? So when God puts something in our hearts, I don't care if it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, God, I haven't seemed to get on the right path yet, but I'm not going to give up. Show me another one. Come on. And we have to teach our kids this. Put goals out before your kids and say, well, here's what's going to happen. You know, this is where you're reaching for. Okay, you tried this, it didn't work, but let's get back up. Let's not give up on that goal. Let's try something else. Let's not stop. And then celebrate when you get there. Chapter 43 and verse 3 says this. Oh, send your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. God, light my path. God, show me what steps I'm supposed to make. God, this is hard. This seems to be an impossible situation. But you said, if I seek you, I'll find you. Right? That's what you said. So I am going to put my hope in the fact that your word says that if I seek, I'll find. And Lord, I'm seeking, so therefore I'm finding, and I'm going to continue to look. Lord, light my path. See, it says that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. So what does that mean? That you're not necessarily going to figure it out with your noodle. Right? With your head. Sometimes you got to get quiet and say, Lord, where's peace in this thing? And you start walking a certain way and it just doesn't seem to be fitting or right. And you just go, oh, wait a minute, that's not right. I'm going to go back here. Okay, I'm back at the start, Gord. Which way? Okay, here? Oh, that feels better. That feels right. Now, don't misunderstand me. There will be obstacles on any path that you take that you're going to get to a God-given goal, because the devil doesn't want you to get there. But you got to be determined. I don't care how many paths I've got. I don't care how many, you know, trails I need to take. God, I'm reaching the top of that mountain. Glory to God. And He will light our paths. Go to Psalm 18. Back to Psalm 18. Glory to God. Glory to God. I want to tell you that it's not too late for your dream. Let me say that one more time. It's not too late for any dream that God has given you. Once, this was a few years ago, I was in a place of discouragement. And oftentimes when you get in the place of discouragement, you go, what if? Or I should have. Or if only I would have. Have you ever been there? God, if I'd only pursued that when I was 20 or 30. God, why didn't I buy Microsoft at the beginning? Right. But watch this. And I was in that kind of mood and praying. And I felt like the Lord impressed upon me this. He said, I knew you'd be here today. I knew you'd be right here today with all the circumstances that you're facing. I knew you'd be here today. When I called you before your mother's womb, I knew you'd be here today. Right here, right this morning. You'd all would be right here today. Before God ever put you in your mother's womb and his plans that he had purposed for you, before that, he knew that you'd be right here this morning. And then he spoke to me. He said, so everything that you need to fulfill your purpose is in your future, not your past. Woo, glory to God. That'll get you kicking again. That'll get you started again. But you can't look at what you don't have. You have to look at what you do have. What do you have? You have the Spirit of the living God living on the inside of you. And if God speaks to you, he can do it. He will bring it to pass. Don't look at your limitations, but begin to speak about the great I am who dwells on the inside of you. Glory to God. Psalm 18 and verse 28. For you will light my lamp. The Lord, my God, will enlighten my darkness. See, you've got to have an assurance on the inside of you that God is going to give you a path to take. But he's going to do it for you personally. Right? He's going to do it for you personally. How many believe that? How many believe that God wants to do that for you? Well, let's look at a few examples. Go to Joshua chapter 1. The book of Joshua. How many of Joshua had a tough act to follow? Right? I mean, here was Moses, and Moses did all these wonderful things, right? Moses got many things working, and I mean, through the Red Sea, parted, you know, the manna came down, and God spoke to him, and the whole cloud thing, and here's Joshua. He's got to follow him. But look at verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, and you and all of the people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. And every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I will have given you, as I said to Moses. There's the goal. There's the vision. Come on, God is speaking to him. This is my plan for you. Now, I'm not sure about Joshua, but I can imagine in his heart somewhere he's going, how can I do that? Right? But he's the one that always spoke the word in, you know, even when the spies went, he said, we're well able to take it because God is with us. And that's why he picked him. But inside, I'm sure that there was some form of doubt, especially as time went on and you had to deal with the knuckleheads you had to deal with, right? But the reality is that God said, I am going to give you the land. You're going to lead the people in. So for the rest of his days, as leader, that vision was before him. What's God spoken to you? And ask him about it. What did he tell you 10 years ago? What did he tell you 20 years ago? What did he tell you last night? Whatever it was, revisit that and say, wait a minute, God. if you've really put that in my heart, then I need to pick that back up again. I need to think about it. I may have gone down a path and it didn't work out, but I'm not going to give up. Come on. Because if you spoke it, Lord, it's going to come to pass. Now go to chapter 6. So he had the vision, right? And in chapter 6, and we probably won't go into full detail, but you'll get the point. In chapter 6, verse 1, my hands are still frozen from yesterday, but that's okay. I'm not going to read through the whole thing, but you'll get the point of it. This is the story of the walls of Jericho. And God said, I'm going to take you in. And he went through some things with the children of Israel before they got in. But when I get in, here's what the plan is. This is the pathway for Jericho. And they went through the path. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to march around the city, the walled city. You're going to march around it. One time a day for 6 days. And on the seventh day, you're going to walk around it and you're going to shout. Those walls are tall, God. And the walls are wide, God. But you see, you have to listen to the path that God tells you and go that way. He's fresh from the vision. God, I'm going to get... Okay, God, here we go. And you know the story that the walls came tumbling down. Hallelujah. But go to chapter 7. But, verse 1, the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed things. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zechariah, of the tribe of Judah, why couldn't they call Ralph and George and, you know, so accursed things. So the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. They had a great victory. Everything's going good. But they did something wrong. And then they went out, and again, for time's sake, they went out to conquer Ai. And I thought, man, God's with us. Here we go. The path, this is just going to be as easy as Jericho, whatever God says. We're going to do it, and the walls will come down. Well, he told them to do something differently, but they went out, and it didn't go as planned. The vision was the same, but there was something wrong. Oftentimes, when something goes wrong in our life, we lay the vision down. Instead of seeking God to find out what's the problem. Right? But when they sought God, he said, there's sin in the camp. And they had to deal with the sin before they could get part of the vision to be accomplished. So in our pathway for what God has for us, we need to continually seek Him and say, God, this doesn't seem to be working quite the way that I thought it would. Am I on the right path? Or is there something in my heart that needs to change to get me to the next level? All right? So the first thing, how many know that you can do nothing about anybody but you? I wish we could, you know. Lord, let me just help them. Let me just make them different, God. I can fix them. How many have ever tried to fix somebody? How'd that work for you? It just got you frustrated. I can't do anything to fix anybody else. But I can go before God and say, Lord, here's my heart. David said it this way, Lord, look at my heart. Search my heart. And see if there's any wicked thing in there. Obviously there was. Right? Obviously all of us have our stuff. But it's the heart before God. Said, Lord, I need to finish my course. So I need, in my pathway, I need to continually reflect Angkor, what's my portion in this? Is there something in me? Is there sin in my heart that I haven't dealt with yet? Right? Because I want to accomplish the goal. I want the hope to be there. So God, deal with me about this. For instance, Lord, and God's put it on your heart. Let's just say this. God's put it on your heart to become a doctor. Cool. Man, I've always wanted to slice people open. Right? Right? I want to be a doctor. But God, I'm really a lazy student. Right? I don't like to study very much. So you go to school and you don't study and you don't get to the place where you need to be to become a doctor. The path was there before you. The goal was there before you. God put it inside of you to become it, but you didn't deal with your laziness in order to reach it. See what I'm saying? So if we want to reach the goal, we have to deal with our laziness or whatever it is inside of us. Right? Some of it's pride. We have to deal with our pride. Pride's a killer to dreams. Pride's a killer to goals. Now, you'd say, what's pride? Pride is anything that places your opinion over God's opinion. It's where I is on the throne and God is not. I'll tell you, this might blow your mind. But did you know that shyness is nothing but pride? Shyness is fear that you're going to be exposed. That somebody's going to make you feel less than. Well, if you're dead in Christ, what do you care? Right? But that very thing can keep you from the goal that God has before you because you haven't dealt with the pride. Is this making sense to anybody? Listen, I want to accomplish what God has for me. Well, I need to find the pathway that's going there, and I need to do anything that's in me, it's in my power, to eliminate all obstacles for me getting down that path. Glory to God. So that takes you spending time with God and His Word, finding out exactly what He wants for you. Right? It's cool. But God has a plan for you. God has a purpose for you. But you cannot let others determine your future. Thank you. Thank you for your enthusiasm. But it's like, there are certain things where we ask for the wisdom of counselors, but there's another thing where we get before God and say, what is it you want for me? Because oftentimes what God has for you, other people won't understand because it's not their purpose. So their pathway may not be your pathway, and you can be nice to them, but I'm going to follow the direction that God has for me. Right? Glory to God. So the story went that they dealt with it, and then finally they got relief. They got the victory, and on and on and on. But each time that Joshua was faced with something else, he had to have a different plan in his life going forward for Israel to take the land. Remember when it's time for Caleb to get his land. Joshua says, all right, you've been fighting with everybody else. It's time for us to go. Do you want some help? Caleb says, don't need it. Don't want it. I conquered this land 40 years ago. When we entered the land, in the promised land, I knew that this was my section of land. And even though I'm 80 years old now, I'm well able to take it because the goal that was in me then has not died. I have not let it die. I've been dreaming about it. I've been thinking about it. I don't need your help. God is with me and my family. We are well able to take the land. So even in the plan that Joshua had for every other tribe, it was different when it came to Caleb. So what am I saying? Your path may be different from others, but that's okay. Find the path to reach the goal that God's put before you. Get on it and stay on it. God will do His part, but you have to do your part. God was going to give them the land, but they had to march around Jericho. Right? Glory to God. God may have given you words that I want to bless you, I want to bless you, I want to bless you. But you haven't got in the position to be blessed. What do you mean? Well, first of all, God says, I will bless you. But if you go back and to talk about the blessing, you look at Deuteronomy chapter 28. He said, everything that I've commanded you to do, have you done it? Well, you know. Well, you know. Well, you'll never reach the goal that God has for you unless you're obedient to what God calls you to do. There's two things. In Isaiah, when God called Isaiah, He said to him, He said, the willing and obedient eat the fruit of the land. Willing and obedient. Did you know that you can be obedient without being willing? Just tell your kid to take out the trash. I'm doing it, but I don't like it. I'm doing it because I don't want to suffer the consequences. Right? And the next time you go, hey, take out the trash. Okay, Dad, I love to take out the trash. And you go there a half hour later and the trash is still there. I thought I told you to take out the trash. Oh, yeah, Dad, I'm going to take it out. Man, I'm excited about taking the trash out. An hour later, it's still there. Willingness without obedience is not good. But obedience without willingness is not good either. So, Lord, help me keep my heart right in going down the path that you have for me, right? So it's so good. But watch this. This is so cool. This is so cool. Moses, to get the people over the Red Sea, had to strike the water. Come on. Joshua had to shout for the walls to come down. David had to wield the sling that took down Goliath. Come on. Glory to God. Daniel had to keep praying when it seemed like God wasn't listening. Jesus had to go to the cross to fulfill the vision that God had for him. Did you know he didn't have to? He said, I could call for a legion of angels right now. This thing could be off the table right now. All I got to do is make one call. But God so loved the world, that was the vision, that He gave His only begotten Son. So our willingness to do what God has called us, no matter what the price is the absolute destiny or the way that we have to walk down in order to achieve what God's called us to. Come on. I believe we need to pick up a call on our lives again. Well, what's my call? Well, I'll tell you one of them. It's to preach the gospel to the poor. It's to preach the gospel to those who don't know Jesus. You say, yeah, but you know, we live in a different time. People don't even like Christians anymore. Did you know there was a time where people liked Christians? Not too long ago. I mean, when I got saved, it was like, if I'd say, well, you know, the Bible says people kind of respected that. Today, it's like, right? But that shouldn't keep us from allowing God to use us. How many want your whole family to be saved? How many have ever prayed for that? How many stop praying? You know, sometimes we do. It's because Lord, I prayed that prayer over and over and over again. Nothing seems to be happening. I want you to pick up the goal again. And if one path doesn't work, Lord, what is it in me? What do I need to change? Show me in your word. Let me just share this story and we'll endeavor to close. But a man went to the Lord. His brother was a rascal. This was years ago. His brother was a rascal. When I say rascal, this was in the time when he was robbing banks and doing all kinds of things. Right? He was praying for his brother to get saved. And he said, Lord, it's not happening. I'm praying and I'm believing you and nothing is happening. And I need your word for it. And so this is what God showed him for his brother. I don't think we can make this necessarily a formula, but he was concerned enough for his brother that he spent the time before God to get a pathway in prayer to reach his brother. And he took him to the verse of Scripture that says, the God of this world has blinded the eyes of those who don't believe, lest they believe the truth of the glorious gospel. And then he went to the verse that said, pray that God would send laborers across their path. And he put the two together and God gave him a plan for his brother. And so he came against the enemy that was stealing or blinding the mind of his brother. In Jesus' name, I plead the blood of Jesus over his mind. Satan, take your hands off of him. I pray right now that God would be able to speak into his life and you're not going to be able to stop it. First step. Second step. Now, Lord, I ask you to bring laborers across this path. His goal was his brother's heart. He had gone down roads before and nothing seemed to be happening. But he said, I'm going to create a different path. God, show me. Light my path so that it can intersect with his path and do something. God gave him the plan. I think it was within 2 weeks his brother called him up. Something funny happened to me. He got saved. He went into ministry. He served God for years and years and years before he went home to be with Jesus. Whew. What am I saying? We can't give up on our prayers. We've got to get back into the Word. And what's your assignment? If God has put some assignments are harder than others. What do I mean by that? Some people are tough. Some devils are hard to get through, right? But if God's put somebody in your heart and on your life, the goal has to be for them to be free, for them to be saved, them to be on fire. So it's like, Lord, okay, I've tried this way. God, I'm seeking you right now for a different pathway because I'm not going to give up on the goal. Come on. Why? Because they're worth it. And God loves them. Are you with me? So God will do his part as we do our part. Some people believe that, you know, whatever, they have the que sera theology. Que sera sera. Remember? Doris Day used to sing it. Whatever will be, will be. It's the will of God. I don't believe everything is the will of God. I don't believe it was God's will for Adam to fall. I believe it was God's will for Adam to have a choice. But Adam chose the wrong choice. So even in our own lives, God will cause all things to work for our good, but oftentimes we're in the middle of a position because we didn't listen to God in the first place. But that's not the end of the story. The end of the story is, okay, God, I get it, I hear it, I got off the path, but I'm back on the path. Show me, teach me, and He will. So don't give up on you. Don't give up on anybody else. Know that God has a path for you. So the first thing, again, in being hopeful is having a vision, a dream. The second thing is, though I'm walking, I've got a path toward that dream. God will do His part as I do my part. If He said to do this, I'm going to do this. I don't care what's 3 years down the road, 4 years down the road. He wants me to become a counselor. The first thing is I got to enroll in school. And then I got to go to a class. Then I got to get through basic elementary English. And then through math. And then through all of those things that I don't like, but I'm going to do it because my goal is on the other side. Did you get anything this morning? Right? Come on. God has a plan for you today. He has a plan for you in the future. And His future for you is good. And it's something that will accomplish something great for the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is at hand. Thy kingdom come, Lord, Thy will be done. I'm walking with You. I'm talking with You. I believe You, God, for great things. Let's pray. Father, I thank You right now in the name of Jesus that Your word is true. We've preached the word, Lord, that You put on our hearts. And I believe that signs and wonder follow the preaching of Your word. So, Holy Spirit, even as this is going over the internet and people are watching at home and the people that are here, Lord, I just thank You for working in their hearts, sparking the dream, Lord, that maybe was dormant. Giving them courage, Father, giving them hope again to start walking toward the goal that You've got in their hearts. Father, we just thank You for it right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank You, Father, that Your word is true, Father, every bit of it. That those who have never made Jesus the Lord of their life can do it right now by just saying, Father, in Jesus' name, I believe in my heart. And I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, and according to Your word, I'm saved. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, do it today. And then dedicate yourself to walk for Him. Dedicate yourself to please Him. Not yourself, but to please Him. And He will absolutely direct your path. Father, we just give You the praise and the honor today. Father, if there's somebody hurting in their body, I ask You to heal them. Father, if there's somebody that's mental torment, I come against that mental torment in the name of Jesus. Satan, right now, take your hands off of God's people in Jesus' name. I speak to everything, every bit of torment, and say, be loosed from that in Jesus' name. I speak to the financial situations, God, that You would just meet every need. And Lord, I speak to the spirit of fear. It doesn't come from You, so we cast it out in Jesus' name. Because Lord, we trust You. And we give You all the praise and all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. God bless you.